Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. As we've said a couple of times already, today is the Feast of Christ the King. It's the end of the season after Pentecost, and in fact, it's the culmination and the fulfillment of the Christian year. In honor of the day, we just heard Matthew's triumphant end times vision of the Son of Man enthroned in glory, surrounded by angels and judging the nations, separating the sheep from the goats. And it's very quickly apparent in terms of this separating out that the Son of Man is far more interested in what the sheep and the goats have actually done or not done. He's more interested in that than he is in what they said they do or do not believe. Matthew tells us that this is a gathering of all the nations, panta ta ethne. So Jews and Gentiles, believers and pagans, those who've heard the message of Jesus and those who haven't, all the peoples of the earth are gathered here before the throne, and they're all being judged against the same standard of behavior. Everyone here, no matter who they are, everyone who has responded with compassion to those in need around them, is here being welcomed into the kingdom as righteous sheep, separated out from the goats by the king. One thing that the sheep and the goats have in common is that they're all surprised. Both the sheep and the goats are surprised and taken aback at what the king says. None of them knew, not one of them was aware that they've been either serving or neglecting the king. None of the sheep was trying to curry favor, and it doesn't appear that any of the goats were acting with malice. It's just that some of them reached out and some of them didn't. So on this day, when we Christians both celebrate and anticipate the final coming together of all things in Christ, a very legitimate question for us to ask is, what's the point of being a Christian if simple altruism is the key to salvation? Why don't we all just decide to be good people and then we can sleep in on Sunday mornings? True, I mean, Reverend Annie and I would have to find new lines of work, but surely there's more to the Christian faith than just keeping the clergy employed. So maybe there's a better way to phrase this. Maybe the question isn't so much what's the point of being a Christian, as it is what does it mean to be a Christian? And I'm going to answer this question by saying first and foremost that to be a Christian is to be someone who's in relationship. This season after Pentecost that we're wrapping up today began back in the spring on Trinity Sunday, a day that celebrates relationships within the Godhead, relationships within the very being of God. This concluding Sunday, Sunday of Christ the King, with its focus on action rather than belief, this also celebrates relationships. Only now the relationships being raised up are within the body of Christ, relationships within the body of the King. So these two relationship Sundays, Trinity Sunday, relationships within the being of God, and Christ the King, relationships within the body of Christ, these Sundays are bookends around the season after Pentecost. And taken as a whole, starting with the Pentecost event itself, which is, of course, the first coming of God's Spirit upon the community of Jesus' followers, taken as a whole, from Pentecost through today's vision of the risen Christ enthroned in glory, this whole seasonal chunk of faith experience not only gives us the template for our own growth towards spiritual maturity, it also shows us the permeability of relationship, the oozing back and forth from one sphere of relationship into another, the oozing back and forth between God's relational life in the Trinity and our relational life here in Christ. In God sending the Spirit upon us, which we continue to experience in baptism, God invites each one of us to enter into the fullness of God's being. This ongoing living dynamic of love shared and shared back between the Father and the Son, with the Spirit being the energy of this dynamic, in baptism, God opens this dynamic to us, and we are invited to enter into that relationship between the Father and the Son as fellow participants in the giving and receiving of God's love. Our participation in this dynamic relationship is what Jesus is talking about when he prays in John's Gospel, As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I know it's kind of circular, but trust me on this one. Invited into this love and participating in it, through the teachings of the season of Pentecost, we are encouraged to expand this dynamic ourselves as members of the body of Christ in the world. Again and again in Scripture, Jesus tells us not to be afraid, tells us to set aside our fear of abandonment, our fear of being without, our fear of the other, to set aside our fear and to trust God and God's love for us enough to come outside our comfort zone a little more each day, to risk, as I talked about last week, and to share more of who we are, to share more of what we've been given, to share more of our gratitude for it. Through our sharing, through the faith of the Spirit dwelling within us, and through the conviction that we ourselves are participants in God's love, through all these things, we invite others into this same permeable and dynamic love relationship. Further on in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, Paul talks about our growth in this process, talks about us growing in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This growth towards maturity is our life's journey, this ongoing dynamic of loving and sharing, and what we celebrate today is the vision of its culmination as the love within the being of God, love that is shared with every other until there is no other. The sheep haven't been compassionate because they want to get God's love. They've been compassionate because they already have God's love. We already have God's love. And not only this, if we really trust our baptism and trusting God more and more as part of our growth into the full stature of Christ, if we really trust our baptism and the power of the Spirit within us, then not only do we already have God's love, we already are God's love. Baptism changes us. To be baptized with water in the name of the Trinity is to experience an ontological change, a change in the very nature of our being. In a well-loved directive that both Reverend Annie and I have used in sermons and conversations before, St. Francis of Assisi told his followers to preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Preach the gospel in every action, in every interaction, in every thought and impulse, preach the gospel. In every thought and impulse, be the gospel. Francis was himself so completely the gospel preached, he was so completely grown into the full stature of Christ that he was blessed with the stigmata. He literally suffered the wounds of Christ in his own body as a living sign of God's good news. Being Christian isn't what we are, it's who we are. We are a changed people. We are Easter people. In commenting on the word Gregorio, which is the Greek word that Matthew uses for watch or keep awake in the parables that have preceded today's vision of the enthroned Son of Man, in commenting on Gregorio, one theologian says, the word Gregorio literally means to have sleep taken away. But he says the way Matthew uses it, the word's message comes across as a much more active, productive meaning than sleeplessness. It means be awake to opportunity. Be awake to the opportunity, he says, that the coming of the exalted Son of Man brings, whether it's in entering into the marriage feast, or the multiplying of your talents, or having the opportunity to love the least among of these in your midst. Being awake, he says, is crucial, because if you miss being awake to the opportunity God is presenting now, you will miss out on experiencing the ultimate in blessedness, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to miss that opportunity, this author says, to miss that opportunity is tragic. Put simply, if we snooze, we lose. We miss the mark. We miss the opportunity. We miss the measure of the full stature of Christ. The goats were the ones who snoozed. They could have been sheep, just like the sheep. They were invited into God's love. Just like the sheep, they were encouraged to preach the gospel in and through their lives. They were encouraged to expand the dynamic of God's love into the world. But they didn't. They just didn't. Whether they were afraid to trust God, afraid to share themselves, or just too busy, we don't know. We only know that the goats are just as surprised to be out as the sheep are surprised to be in. The goats didn't realize that expanding the love, reaching out into the world with compassion was up to them. They didn't realize that love was who they were called to be. We're not goats. We know that we are called to be God's love in the world. And as one pastor points out, in a world that seems too big to be changed, our lives and what we do with them have more meaning and more value than we imagine. Or as I said in my sermon last week, what we do or fail to do shapes this world and our lives. We are awake. And because we're awake, we know that God's opportunities to grow and to share God's love, God's opportunities to be more and more who we really are, we know that these opportunities surround us on every side. Recognizing them for what they are, loving God enough to take advantage of them, trusting God enough to step out in faith and embrace them, this is what it means to be a Christian. And for a Christian, being fully awake and seizing God's opportunities to be the good news in a hurting world, this is the point. Amen.